I think what we'll see in Mary is that she is a powerful example for us. She's a powerful example of humility, of faith, of obedience, and devotion to Jesus, no matter the cost.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, everyone loves a good story, don't they? Everyone loves a good story, and if you need any proof of that, all you have to do is look at the revenues that Hollywood brings in every year from all of the movies, these stories that they produce. Or turn on television. What is television all about? The ratings there. It's what? It's stories, telling stories. We like to hear a good story. The reality is that we have the greatest story ever told right here in the words of this scripture right here, the story of Jesus Christ. His story is the greatest story ever told. And so we proclaim that message. We proclaim it every Sunday. Every day we proclaim that in our hearts. But today we're going to continue to proclaim that story of Jesus. And the story of Christmas is that time when he did come into this world. Now there's an old expression, and you probably have been the recipient of this. You ever heard this? Someone say to you, now look, now don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. But what do we do when someone says, don't take it personally? We take it personally, right? Well, I want to tell you, I want to give you permission. Do take it personally. I'm going to tell you a story here. These stories that we're telling, I want you to take it personally. Remember that the Christmas story isn't just something that happened a long time ago in a far, far away galaxy. No, wait a minute. That's another story. This is a better story. And I do want you to take it personally. We're looking at the story of Christmas. And we saw the story of the gospel. But God. How we were lost. We were condemned under his judgment for sin. But God, who is rich in mercy and love, stepped into this world and delivered us through a Savior. And by faith, we have forgiveness and life and abundant blessing beyond our imagination. Well, today then, we're going to consider the Christmas story from the perspective of one person. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the Christmas story from the perspective of three persons, from Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And we'll tell the story of Christmas by telling their stories. Mary today, Joseph next week, and Jesus on Christmas Eve. But then we will conclude that next Sunday then with our story. Our story. For today then is the story of Mary. The story of Mary. What is the story of Mary? What is it? And what was in her heart? What was in the heart of Mary as these events took place? I think what we'll see in Mary is that she is a powerful example for us. She's a powerful example of humility, of faith, of obedience, and devotion to Jesus, no matter the cost. We know that her husband, Joseph, was of the royal line of David. And it is likely that Mary was as well. Tradition says that her parents were Joachim of Nazareth and Anna of Bethlehem. She had a relative named Elizabeth who was older than her and who gave birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus, the Messiah. We know, too, that she had at least one sister, and it's possible that her sister was Salome, the wife of Zebedee. And if that name Zebedee sounds familiar to you, there's a reason. Zebedee was the father of James and John, the apostles, right? So, if that was the case, if Salome, the wife of Zebedee, was Mary's sister, that would make James and John her nephews and make them cousins of Jesus. Now, she was brought up in a small town named Nazareth, a small town with a bad reputation. As she grew up, as was the custom, she was likely then betrothed as a young woman in her early to mid-teens. Her older relative was Elizabeth, who was beyond childbearing years. And when Elizabeth suddenly received the incredible news that she was going to have a son, whose name was to be John, who would be a great prophet. And when Elizabeth was 6 months along in her pregnancy, Mary herself would receive some amazing, incredible news. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, looking at verses 26 through 38. Luke tells us, in the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I'm going to look at the story of Mary here today. What do the scriptures teach us? What do they show us about her life? We're not going to look only at the account of the announcement to her and the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. We're going to look at the whole story of Mary in scripture and ask ourselves, and I want you to take it personally. Do take it personally. What does the story of Mary say to you? When we're first introduced to Mary, she is a young woman. And she was betrothed. What is betrothal? Well, betrothal was a serious and legally binding formal engagement process. If you will, you might think it wasn't engagement like we know engagement. This was, if you will, this was engagement on steroids. It was serious. It was legally binding. In order to get out of it, one had to get a certificate of divorce. Now, what would happen? There was a declaration that was made by the prospective husband to the prospective bride in the presence of witnesses. And he would give her a small gift of some kind as a pledge to her that he would come for her and consummate the marriage. And from that time forward, she would be called his wife, and he would be called her husband. Now, the husband and wife, they wouldn't immediately live together and consummate the marriage. They would live separately. And after about a year or so of that, then the husband would come suddenly, unexpectedly, unannounced for his bride and take her to live with him in his home. Now, are some of you thinking, man, this sounds kind of familiar, like to something else, doesn't it? A pledge is made, a gift is given, there's a time of separation, and then the husband comes unannounced, unexpectedly for his bride to take her with him, to be with him in his home. If you're thinking, boy, that sounds a lot like Jesus and his bride, the church, you're right. That's exactly the way we're supposed to understand the relationship of Christ and the church here. The declaration that has been made to us through the cross and the resurrection. The gift given as a pledge. What is the gift that has been given to us as a pledge? The Holy Spirit, right? He's given what? As a gift, as a deposit, or a guarantee of what is to come. And now we're living apart for a time, aren't we? But then one day Jesus is going to come. We don't know when, but he will come and he will take his bride to live with him forever and ever in his home. So here was Mary in this state. She was formally betrothed to Joseph. They would be considered husband and wife, even though they had not consummated the marriage and they did not live together yet. Now I wonder, what do you suppose? What do you suppose was in the heart of Mary then? She excited? She looking forward to this? Anticipating what her life would be like? I'm sure she had ideas and plans and hopes and dreams. And then suddenly, God interrupted her thoughts and hopes and dreams. And in a most amazing way, when there was an annunciation, an announcement by an angelic visitor, Gabriel. This angel came to her and called her favored one. Said, "You have found favor with the Lord, Mary. You have found favor and blessing. The Lord is with you." And Mary reacts. Now, I don't know about you, if an angel came and visited, you might think, boy, and an angel says that, I'm going to be really excited. Wouldn't you be excited? But Mary was afraid and confused. By the way, isn't it interesting how... Now, I loved our little angels that we had up here. But how oftentimes when we think of angels and we see pictures and things like that, what are they? That's kind of cute and all of that. But practically every time you see in the scriptures of an interaction between an angel and a human being... what is the reaction of the human?
Fear.
I think there's significance in that. I'll leave you to ponder that one. So, he says, don't be afraid. You found favor. The Lord is with you. Me? You're talking to me? Yes, Mary. And in fact, you're going to have a child. You're going to become pregnant and you're going to have a child. Now, Mary understood that this was not going to be in the normal way. That she was to be with Joseph, they'd consummate their marriage, and she would become pregnant and have a child. That's not really an earth-shattering announcement, is it really? That, well, you're going to have a baby. That happens all the time, doesn't it? But Mary understood that that was not what the angel meant. He meant, right now, without her husband, without any man, you are going to become pregnant. And that's why Mary says, well, how can this be that I am a virgin and I'm going to become pregnant without any man? He says, yes, you are, and you're going to call him Jesus. He will be the long-awaited Messiah, the Deliverer. He will be the Son of the Most High. Wow. He will be given the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will end when?
Never.
Wow. Some pretty high praise and an amazing story. And so she wondered, how can this be? Now, this was not a wonderment of doubt and unbelief and saying, oh, come, get out of here. No way is that going to happen. But just, I think, a normal reaction like any of us would just like, I don't understand. How can this be? Gabriel tells her that it would be the Holy Spirit who would come upon her, overshadow her. She would conceive, and the child would be called holy. The Son of God, he would be without sin. And how will this be? Well, Gabriel tells us, nothing is impossible for whom? For God, right? Now, what do you suppose was in the heart of Mary then? What would have been in your heart? Now, Mary didn't understand it all. And you know, I am not sure how much, even through the ministry of Jesus as an adult, how much she really grasped of everything that Jesus was going to do and what was going to happen to him. But she believed. And she responded with faith and obedience. Scripture tells us she went to visit her, shortly after that then, she went to visit her relative Elizabeth, probably to help Elizabeth as she was preparing to give birth. Luke says it was in a city of Judah in the hill country. Tradition says that it was a small village called Karim, about 5 miles west of Jerusalem. And if that was the case, it would have been about an 80-mile journey from Nazareth. That's some hard travel, isn't it, back then? When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leapt for joy. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she prophesied. She proclaimed, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Why was Mary blessed? She was blessed because she had believed what God told her. What do you suppose was in the heart of Mary then, when she was greeted that way, when the little baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy at the sound of her voice, and she was called blessed and favored by the Lord again? Well, you know what? We don't really have to guess or speculate much what was in the heart of Mary then, because we're then given this incredible song, a song of praise. We call the Magnificent, or the Magnificat, the word that my soul magnifies or uplifts or rejoices and praises the Lord. Now remember, this is what I'm going to read here in a moment from the Gospel of Luke. These are the words of a very young woman. Listen to this and remember who is saying these things. And what does that tell you about her? What does that tell you about what was in Mary's heart? She says this, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." What an amazing song of joy and praise from such a young woman. What does that tell us? What was in the heart of Mary? Love and devotion to God and his word. She knew the scriptures, didn't she? And she loved God. Of course, we know the famous story of the birth of Jesus. Mary returned to her home in Nazareth, and then the time came when she had to travel with Joseph to Bethlehem. And Luke tells us this is how it happened. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. By the way, Luke doesn't tell us, we'll see this in the story of Matthew next week, that Joseph wasn't so sure about Mary's story at first, was he? She's pregnant. Joseph knows, I haven't been with her. What would you think if you were Joseph? Yeah. And you know what? In any other time in history, you'd be right, wouldn't you? But not in this case. But we'll talk about Joseph's story next week. But what do you think was in the heart of Mary, what she had to endure through that time? The suspicions of her husband? The looks from the townspeople? Maybe the rumors? Did you know that there were rumors about Jesus all the way through his life? And we even see that in Scripture, where when he was in confrontation with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, how they making not so subtle remark about his parentage. So what was in the heart of Mary when that came? Now she had to make this long journey again to Bethlehem. And there she is. By the way, you know, Joseph was told in a dream by an angel that everything Mary was saying was true, and what he took her into his house and she became his wife then, in the fullest sense, except for one detail. But we'll talk about that next week. So now they're in Bethlehem. She's given birth. We know that Luke tells us that shepherds visited and they told an amazing story. They told an amazing story of visits by angels who had told them that Jesus was very good news for the world. A Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born in Bethlehem. The shepherds went to visit. They told Mary and Joseph these things, and there's a verse here that I want you to focus in on. I'll tell you when it's coming up, okay? Everybody ready to pay attention? I'll tell you when it's coming up. It says, and they, the shepherds, went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Here's what I want you to hear, verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured what she was told by herself. She treasured what was told to these shepherds by the angels and what they were telling her now, and they're wondering about it. She treasured it in her heart and she pondered it. She did not fully understand all of this, but she treasured it and she mulled it over in her heart. What could this mean? Well, a short time after, she was given something. What do you think you'd have been? Would your heart have just been filled with ecstatic joy and delight and wonderment? But just a short time later, she's told something else. They would go to the temple, Joseph and Mary, in order to fulfill the requirements of the law. Ceremonies of purification and offering a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of a poor couple. And while there, they were greeted by Simeon and Anna, who said some more amazing things about this child. But here's what I want us to focus in on for a moment, what Simeon said to Mary. It says, and his father, Luke tells us in Luke 2, verses 33 through 35, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." I doubt Mary really fully understood what that was saying, but she knew with all of this joy that was hers in bearing the Savior who would deliver his people and who would reign forever and ever and ever, there would too, though, be to him opposition, hatred, and a sword would pierce through her own soul. It would hurt so deeply. But how people respond to him would reveal what was truly in their hearts. I wonder what was in the heart of Mary then. Matthew tells us that sometime later, wise men came from the east and they presented gifts fit for a king: gold and frankincense and myrrh. What do you suppose was in the heart of Mary then? More joy and wonderment. Sadly, though, we know that there was a jealous and murderous king named Herod who went on a violent rampage when he heard of this threat to his throne. And it forced Joseph and Mary to flee with Jesus to Egypt. What do you suppose was in the heart of Mary then? Was she afraid? Did she wonder, is God's plan going to fail? I don't think she thought it was going to fail, but I'll bet she felt fear like any of us would. Is he going to kill my baby? Well, the time came, Herod had died, and the couple then returned to Nazareth. They went back to the town where they had come from and began a normal life. We know that Joseph was a carpenter. Went back to his trade. That in time there would come other children, brothers and sisters would be born to Joseph and Mary, brothers and sisters of Jesus. At some point, Scripture doesn't tell us this for sure, but we think at some point then Joseph must have died, and we never hear of him. We hear of him when Jesus was 12 years old and they had gone to Jerusalem to visit the temple. And after that point then Joseph disappears from the scene. Never be heard from in Scripture again, and I suspect he probably died at some point then after that. And for a time then, Jesus then, he did not begin his public ministry until he was about 30 years of age. And I suspect that probably he learned his father's trade of carpentry. He was home with Mary, his mother, and his brothers and sisters, and he was supporting them until they were older, helping his mother and his younger brothers and sisters. But then the time came to begin the public ministry of Jesus Christ when he was about 30. And Scripture tells us that there were some times when Mary came to see Jesus or was involved with Jesus in these years in his ministry. You know the story of Jesus was at a wedding at Cana of Galilee and his mother was there, and it's likely that his mother was probably responsible for some of the arrangements or was helping out this family of this couple that was marrying. And they ran out of wine. Don't you hate that when that happens? Run out of wine? They ran out of wine. I think Mary might have been afraid that this family would be embarrassed by this. And so what does she do? She says to the servants, "See, my son Jesus, do whatever he tells you." She knew that he had the power to fix the problem in a hurry. And Jesus was a little what? It's not time for this yet. But she was his mother. And so what did he do? He did it for her, didn't he? Changed the water into wine and didn't embarrass that family. In fact, the wine was so good that they said, why didn't you serve this before? You saved the best for last here. By the way, it wasn't just a magic trick. There was spiritual significance in changing that water into wine, John calls it a sign. But we're not. You're going to have to go look that one up yourselves. There's a homework assignment for you. It's another time when they were concerned for his safety, that he was receiving a lot of opposition, Jesus was. We've seen that in our series in Matthew. And they were concerned about what was going to happen to him, and so Mary came with her other sons, Jesus' brothers, to come and try to spirit him away. And Jesus said, and he was told, hey, your mother and your brothers are here. And he says, well, my mother and my brothers are those who do the will of God. John tells us that at this time in Jesus' earthly ministry, that even his own brothers didn't believe in him. What was in Mary's heart then? She saw the opposition building to her son. And here are her other children, the half-brothers of Jesus. And even they don't believe in him. What was in Mary's heart then? The next time we see Mary is she's at the cross. Seeing her son crucified, the innocent one. But she was there. And from the cross, Jesus gave the care of his mother over to John. But aren't you glad the story doesn't end there, though? Because he was alive. He was alive. And now here she was. Here is Mary. We see in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that there she was waiting with eager anticipation with the other, with the apostles and with others, waiting and praying, and that she too would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who would come at Pentecost. What do you suppose was in the heart of Mary then? Been talking about the heart of Mary, and I've told you, I want you to take this story personally. Do you see any of yourself in her story and some of the circumstances she faced? You see any qualities in her? What do we see in Mary's heart? What was in Mary's heart? Well, I think we can say this. There was humility in her heart. When the angel told her how she had found favor with God, that she was blessed, what was her reaction? Was, me? Me? She was humble. Why do you I think that's why. Why did God choose her to bear the Son of God? She was humble and devout. She was also a young woman of faith. She was told incredible things. How many of us would believe what she was told? She didn't understand it, but she said, even acknowledging that while she didn't understand it all, she said what? But nevertheless, what? Well, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. In other words, whatever you will, Lord, may it be. She was obedient. She did what she was told to do. And she was faithful in that. But she also exhibited great devotion to Jesus through her life. All the way even past the resurrection, she was devoted to her son, Jesus. Well, that's great. What does that have to do? You keep telling me you want me to take this personally. Well, let me ask you a few questions here. In the story of Mary, do you see something in her that speaks to you and your need this morning? Are you poor in spirit? That's the way that Jesus described what? Humility. Poor in spirit are people who recognize that we don't bring anything to the table with God, that we are blessed to have his blessing and favor and presence, right? It's not because of anything we've done. We are spiritually bankrupt before him. Humility. Humility is the first step on the road to faith, isn't it? You believe that nothing is impossible with God. Mary was told incredible things. She didn't understand it. And she was never guaranteed that if she believed it, that her life would just be grand the whole time. She endured incredible circumstances, pain, the sorrow of the cross. But her son triumphed. And she triumphed along with him. You believe that nothing is impossible with God, that God can do what he said he will do in your life. Are you obedient then to God's clear will, just as Mary was? You think it was hard for her to obey what God had said to her when she was being taunted by people? Finally, are you devoted to Jesus? Are you devoted to Jesus no matter the cost? What did it cost Mary? Well, she had to stand at that cross. She had to see the opposition to her son. She had to see how he was treated and rejected and maligned and called horrible things. He was called Satan. And then she saw him crucified. But she remained devoted to him her whole life. Are you humble before God this morning? Do you believe God can do what he said he will do in your life? Are you obeying what he's told you clearly to do? Are you prepared to go with him all the way through to the end? I think that's the example in Mary. That's the story of Mary. That was what was in the heart of Mary. And that is what I pray is in our hearts this morning too. Let's pray. Father, what a powerful example in your servant Mary for us. This humble young woman who was devoted to you and devoted to your word, who loved you, Lord, who was a woman of faith. And Lord, you blessed her. You chose her to bear Jesus, the Son of God. And Lord, there were very painful moments in her life. But you were faithful to her. You delivered her through them. And the one that she delivered on that Christmas day delivered her on the cross and delivered all of us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We give you praise this morning. Speak to our hearts this morning, Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.